Grab your note sheet. Just about the time you think you have your circumstances under control, it seems like they get control of you. I'm Robin. I'm the lead pastor here. Welcome. So glad you're here today at Eastlake Church. And welcome if you're online. Good to have you. Come check us out sometime at your church too. We started Eastlake Church just a few months ago in West Valley to be a church for everyone. So it doesn't matter what kind of family background you come from. It doesn't matter if you've been in church all your life and you stopped going to church. It doesn't matter if you're super religious or not. You might be like me. Your parents never went to church. You didn't know what church was. It really doesn't matter because this is a church for everyone and for any type of circumstances you find yourself in. We all sort of navigate through life and live in the midst of our circumstances. And they're changing all the time. I mean, you can have a good day that turns to a bad day and then back to a good day in the same day. I mean, circumstances, and they can change very, very quickly. I mean, you're cruising along, you think, man, I finally got my finances together, everything, and then the transmission blows in your car. New circumstance. You know, all of a sudden you're pregnant. You're like, didn't plan on that. Or something happens with your kids. It was very unexpected. I mean, circumstances, very difficult to control them. And we're always trying to design our circumstances to have the type of life that we want. We have new circumstances and old circumstances. 2003, the American Army and the Allies go into Baghdad, and they find out that the zoo there had been bombed, and the lions all got away. So there's this pride of lions that's like roaming the streets of Baghdad. And the first thing they had to do is like get these armored vehicles and try to corner these lions to get them to come back into the zoo. And they got almost all of them, except for three lions wouldn't go back. Like they wouldn't go back to their old circumstances. They didn't want to. All the rest of them would. But the problem was is that they'd been in captivity so long, they didn't know how to be free. And so they have this problem. They don't want to go back to their old circumstances, but they don't know how to live in their new circumstances. Very confusing for them. And we're going to look at a story today, and it's going to show us that Jesus cares about your circumstances. This is the big idea you can write. Jesus cares about our circumstances. News you can use. It's always here about just something practical. Jesus is such a practical person and God, and understands that we're always living our life in the midst of our circumstances. And we're gonna read a story today about these 10 guys. They have sort of the same kind of problem as these three lions. They don't want to live in their old circumstances, but they don't know how to live in their new circumstances. So take your notes, and we'll take a look. Let's read it. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. So we're gonna read some of the Bible to give all this credibility. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, where are the other 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was not one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner? Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." So it starts out, now on his way to Jerusalem, now on his way. We're always on the way somewhere. I mean, we're either on the way to a better marriage or not. You know, we're on our way to securing our finances or not. We're on our way to being able to forgive somebody or not. We're on our way to a closer relationship with God, hopefully. We're on our way somewhere. There's always some destination we're going to arrive at. And so really the question is, are we designing the path, or are we just going to end up somewhere? Because you're going to be somewhere next year. Where would you like to be in your marriage a year from now? Where would you like to be at your job, in your career? Where would you like to be with your children? Because you're going to be somewhere a year from now, because we're always on the way. Life is a path. And Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for the very last time. This is the last time he'll ever go there. In fact, he's just days away from going to the cross. So it's like one of those times in your life that you know that you're about to do something very important. What would it be like for you if you knew in just a few days you were going to do the most important thing that you would ever do in your entire life, and you know it now. It hasn't come yet. The circumstances is on the way to you, but it's not here yet. But you know in just a few days, this is where Jesus is at, in just a few days, I'm going to do the most important thing that I'll ever do in my entire life. Now, when I was in fourth grade, it was a talent contest. I played the trumpet in fourth grade. It wasn't very good, but I did the best I could with it. And there was a big talent contest at school, and I thought, man, this is a great way to be popular. And of course, I didn't put two and two together that I wasn't a great trumpet player, so it probably wasn't going to work. But I thought, this is my big chance. So I got into the talent contest, and here it comes on the calendar. And it's getting closer and closer. And you know how it is when like things are a ways out there, you don't think much. But here it comes, it's getting closer. And a week before, I started to feel the pressure a little bit. Oh, man. I mean, next Monday night, I got to go up in front of everybody and play my trumpet. And for me, it was like the most important thing. And it just gets closer and closer and closer. Do you have any circumstances that are very, very important to you and they're getting closer, and the closer they get, the more pressure you feel? Circumstances, not even here yet, but you can feel the pressure. And that's where Jesus is. He knows he's going to Jerusalem. He's going to die on the cross. It'll be the most important thing that ever happens in life. Here it comes, here it comes. And he's traveling along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And one thing about Jesus, he is so able to ride the fence between good and evil, between conservative and liberal, between religious and non-religious. He seems to be able to always live in the borders of our lives, which is a really a good thing as a model for church. I'll give you some good news. All of our views don't have to line up at Eastlake. Our borders are always going to sort of clash into other people's borders. And this is a huge thing that's happening for him because he's in the border of Samaria and Galilee, which are very, very different people. And churches should be always filled with very, very different people. See, oftentimes church becomes a place where conformity is super important. So people kind of dress the same and they sing the same and they have the same morals, and half of them lie anyways and hide it. But the truth is they try to look like they all are sort of the same. And Jesus, he's willing to now. He can live in opposing views, and he can sort of ride along in the borders. So I want you to know Eastlake would be just like that. Lots of different views here. Liberal people, moral people, people that tote guns, people that pass out flowers. I mean, it's just a lot of different people here. And here in this story, Galilee is kind of the religious people. So remember now, in Jesus' day, there was one dominant church in his day. One dominant church that most people went to was the Jewish church. Everybody went there. Your mom and dad went there. Your cousin went there. Your uncle went there. Your grandparents went there. Everybody went to this one sort of dominant church. And if you didn't go to that dominant church, it was hard for you. It might be hard to get a job, or just difficult. Pressure, in your life. And it was obvious that you didn't go to that church, so it could cause family schisms. And so people in Galilee, they decided, we're going to stay in that religious way of living. We don't want the pressures of breaking out and doing something. So all everybody in Galilee, church people. Now Samaria, they're totally different. They're non-religious. They have totally had it with church. In fact, they feel looked down upon and rejected by church. And they don't care if it causes problems in their families or anything else. They're the non-church people. We don't go to church. We don't have anything to do with that. So very different groups of people here. Samarian, bad, bad, bad church. Galilee, great, great church, great church. And here's Jesus sort of cruising along the border between them, between all these people. And he can do that. He can be with people that are very, very religious, and he can be with people that are completely non-religious, because he's able to walk the fence. Jesus can, and you know what? Think about your own heart for a moment. Isn't it all kind of separate up, and there's borders touching, and you believe some things and other things you don't believe, and Jesus can be with all of you. He's with all these people. And he's about to go into this border town. You know how border towns are? I mean, border towns are always kind of weird. And this is a border town. He's about ready to go into a border town, this village. And there's these ten men, and he meets these 10 men, and they have leprosy. And leprosy is a really strange thing to have in this culture, because way, way back in the day, they don't know anything about leprosy. So anybody that gets any kind of a skin disease, I mean, if you just had severe acne back in Jesus' day, you would be branded as a leper. And if you got branded as a leper, I mean, any skin disease, because, the skin disease is really, really bad, and you have to be quarantined because it's contagious, and so they don't want to take any chances. So anybody that even looks like they might have a skin disease problem, they're like leper, and they're put off into quarantine. They're not allowed to go around anybody else. They have to be separated from their family and their friends and their job and all the dreams that they have in life and their hobbies. And they have to go live with all the other people that have skin diseases. That's where they get to live. They have to live with all of them over there until they can prove that their life has changed. So these 10 guys, that's where they're at. Who knows what's going on with them? They just know that, oh my gosh, I've been branded. I'm the one that has leprosy. So they have to go over and live with everybody else. And they call out to Jesus in a loud voice. And here's my question. How do you call out to Jesus when someone labels you? And have you ever had a sense that you're not as bad as someone has labeled you? I mean, can you imagine the people that they kind of got that I don't really have the really super bad contagious form of leprosy? I just have like teenage acne. You know when you have a sort of a feeling inside, like I know I've done something wrong, but I don't think I'm as bad as that person is making me out to be. People that go through divorces, I mean, they just get wrung through the wringer because it's like all the bad stuff gets drug up. And sometimes it gets confusing because, like, before you go to bed tonight, you're just, like, replaying all the bad things they say about you. You're thinking, God, I'm really a butthole. Almost said it. Caught it, though. And, you know, you wake up in the morning, you go, God, I can't believe how bad I am. But you have this other voice inside that's sort of speaking to you. It's like going, really, are you sure? So you have all these people, and 10 of them here, and they got all this stuff going on. And some of them are thinking, I'm even sure that I'm as bad as all everybody says that I am. And they call out in a loud voice. They're like, say, God, I don't know if I'm as bad as everybody says I am. It's a little boy that heard his dad praying in the living room. His dad was praying for his son, saying, make sure he gets his homework done and gets his room cleaned up and doesn't talk back to his mother and doesn't hit his sister and comes home for dinner when he's supposed to. And the little boy hears his dad praying, and he comes and he says, Dad, how come you always tell God all the bad stuff about me? And that's kind of what they're doing. They're saying, I don't know that I'm as bad as everybody's making it out to be. And so they cry out in a loud voice. And that's how Jesus meets them. And do you know when you had leprosy, you didn't get your life back until you could prove that your life had changed. Well, that's one too. Have you ever been in that situation where everybody's watching you? Maybe you've really screwed up, or maybe life just happened. You went bankrupt, your kids flew off and did something you never thought they would, or you lost your job or whatever. I mean, you know, crap happens, your life happens, and all of a sudden everybody's watching you, and they're not going to give you your life back until you can prove that you've changed. That's the only way you got to leave the leper group and come back into your old life again. So their loud voice, Jesus, Jesus, they say, Master, have pity on us. Which is interesting. Their first thing to say to Jesus is not necessarily that they want to be loved, but they want to be pitied. It's when we depend more on getting God to notice our bad circumstances for his help rather than he loves us. It's subtle, but it's actually a form of working or earning to get God's help. I mean, there's two ways, you know. There's those people in life like, I do everything good, and I give my money to the church, and I take care of little old ladies, and I'm really, really super good at work, and I read my Bible, and I'm a good person, and see me, God, I'm good, help me. Okay. But then there's the other person that goes, God, look at this pile of life. I mean, come on, any decent, self-respecting God would do something. They're both works. They're both ways of earning God's help. It's when I trust on pity. And here's the weird thing about pity. Pity is really a form of pride. Like self-pity. Who's that about? So it's when I'm focused on my own life and I hold my own life up to God and I either say this, I say, look at my great life, God, do something, or look at my crappy life, God, do something. Well, they're in that category. They're like, God, please. And you know, it's really dangerous to divert from God's love. Because when you divert from God's love, then you feel like you have earned his help. And when you feel like you've earned God's help, you don't have anything to be grateful for. 9 out of 10 of these people never come back and even connect with Jesus or say thank you. Probably because they're like, well, I mean, duh. I mean, Jesus is doing what any self-respecting God would do. I had a really bad life. Are you trying to move anybody in your life with pity? Let's leave God out for a second. Just leave him out just for a second. Well, I mean, you can't actually leave him out, but put him to the side for a second. I mean, I'm just asking, is there anybody in your life and you're trying to move them with pity? Woe is me. We do that when we get older. We get around old people. My bunion hurts and my eyes don't work and I had to have my colon cleansed. And they just go on and on and on. It's just like their way of saying, you know, please somebody love me because my life is bad. So I'm just asking. And watch out if somebody's trying to move you with pity because it can be very, very manipulative. You can find yourself being moved into doing stuff that you don't want to do. And are you doing it with God? Because here's the danger. If you believe you can move God's heart because of your circumstances, all you'll ever have with God is the ability to ask him to change your circumstances. That's all you'll ever have. And once your circumstances are changed, you'll forget him. Just like these guys. So there they are. They're like, have pity on us, have pity on us. And Jesus, he's pretty smart about things. He doesn't fall right into that. Let's look what he does. Write in your notes the word judgment. When Jesus sees him, he says to the 10 guys, go show yourself to the priests. Now listen, the priests are the people that you have to go show yourself because they make the judgment if your life is changed enough to get your life back. So the priests are the judges. They're the ones you have to go show yourself to, and you have to go right to the judge. And it's interesting because he doesn't heal them. I mean, put yourself in their spot. I mean, they come and they say, we got a really bad life. Are you going to do something? And Jesus says, go see the judge. And they do it. And they are cleansed along the way. I don't know about you, but I mean, I'm not especially thrilled when someone tells me I have to be judged. I mean, I do everything I can in life not to be judged. I'm expecting to be healed here, cleansed. I'm not expecting someone to tell me to go be judged. And here's something I've discovered about circumstances. Sometimes the circumstance that I avoid the most is the one that I need the most. Sometimes the circumstance I'm trying to squirm my way out, I don't want anything to do with it, I'm not going there, is the one that will actually cleanse me. And I wonder why I'm not being cleansed. How come I'm not being healed? How come things aren't changing? Well, it's because I'm never willing to move towards the circumstance that I actually need. And judgment's that way. I'll tell you what, I will squirm and blame other people and minimize things, and I'll do anything. I mean, honestly, we'll do anything to get out of being judged. And can you imagine what they're thinking? Because they're not healed now. So a lot of trust going on here. I mean, what are they thinking? These 10 guys are walking towards the judges that are coming. And they're thinking, you know, I still got the same leprosy. I mean, I look the same way that I looked. I mean, this is not going to go good. I mean, I'm going to go see the judge, and the judge is going to say the same thing that they said last time. And isn't that a way that we avoid judgment? We remember the last time I tried to talk with them, the last time that I admitted I did something wrong, the last time I asked them to forgive me, it did not go well. So I'm not going there again. I think it would have been really, really, really different in the order of events of this story if Jesus would have just healed them. I mean, can you imagine that? Let's say the judge over here, this is one thing I love to do in life. I love to rub my success in people's noses. I'm sorry, but it just feels good. So wouldn't it have been great? Think about the lepers. They've gone to the judges before, and the judges, no, you haven't changed enough. Back with the rest of the people that have skin diseases. Can you imagine what it felt like to them if Jesus would have done one of his magic tricks? Boom, they're, wow, man, ivory, snow, skin, I'm looking good. And they would have been skipping towards the judge. Hey, judges, take a look at me now. How you like me now? But that's not the story. They're cleansed on the way. Who judges you in your life? And boy, do you avoid them. Because the last time, you do not want to go there. And let me tell you something. We get in this idea that the goal in life is to avoid judgment when actually the goal is to be able to face it. And did you notice that they're cleansed along the way? They're cleansed before they ever get a verdict. I mean, way before they get a verdict. See, here's the thing. When you're willing to move, it's something Jesus knows. When you're willing to, because he's smart, you're willing to move towards judgment, the humility is what cleanses you, not the verdict. It doesn't matter if you're 10% guilty or 50% guilty or 100% guilty or 100% innocent. They get cleansed before they ever get the verdict, the very thing that often scares us from going on the way. And yet they're cleansed as they went. So here's all I'm saying. It won't be the judgment that makes you dirty or clean. It'll be the humility that you experience as you move towards the judgment. Don't fear the verdict. It doesn't have any power over you anyways. But to scare you from being on the way, they're cleansed as they go. So one more time. Oh, and I wanted to say this too. I would never send anybody towards judgment without Jesus. I mean, they have an encounter before they go. And it probably, like, have you ever had one of those things happen with someone and it's so inspiring and it's so deep that even when it seems like they're still with you when they're not with you? I mean, they're still like, go show yourself to the priest. I mean, that's a lot of confidence. And off they go. And they're, so instead of avoiding judgment, as they went, they were cleansed, and so can you be. Now let's get the second thing here, right in the word healing. Number two is healing. This man, when he saw that he was healed, he returned praising God in a loud voice. So now listen to this now. Leprosy is skin deep, and so are circumstances. So everybody, all 10 of them, got their circumstances changed, but one guy realizes something deeper has happened for him. All of them experience the same thing now. They all get their life back, but one guy, somehow he realizes, you know what, something deeper has happened for me, and it's deeper than circumstances. It's when you can see beyond your circumstances. This church held this huge benefit for veterans, and part of the benefit was people would give money in memory of one of the family members that whose life was lost in serving our country in line of duty. So they'd give money, and so this benefit was happening, and these people were, a son had died or a daughter had died, and they'd give money in their name, which is a really super cool thing. And this one woman who's there with her husband, they're a part of this, he's a veteran, and she leans over, and their son was in the military. And they hadn't given any money yet. And she leans over to her husband. She says, I think we should sponsor too for our son. And she's, we should do something. And the man looked at her and said, why should we do something? Our son served his tour and came back safe and sound. And she said, I know. That's why I think we should do something. See, when something deeper occurs for me and I get healed, I sort of get beyond the circumstances, whether they're good or bad. And these 10, they do get cleansed. I mean, they do get their life back. And you think, well, what is up with them? Maybe they stayed in their pity. You know, maybe they find out, wow, man, I can't believe it. I get my life back. And then they go home and they go, whoa, same old wife. Yeah. Same old kids, same old bills, same old job. The cars broke down. I can't even believe this. I forgot. I hadn't finished my education. I got to go to school and try to work. I mean, you know, imagine this. Somebody sees them and goes, whoa, aren't you the guy that Jesus healed? You don't have leprosy anymore. Congratulations. He says, yeah, but you should see me now, man. I can't get my hands to meet. I'm working two jobs. I mean, you know, how quickly another set of circumstances could fill the ones that we just got cleansed from. It can happen really super quickly unless something deeper happens for me, like this guy. It says that he came and he praised God in a loud voice, and then he threw himself at Jesus' feet and said, thank you. Do you have anybody in your life that you've done a lot of things for them, you've really, really helped them out with their circumstances, and it doesn't look like they're going to be grateful? I mean, you're kind of watching from the sidelines like, hey, When's the thank you coming? Do you know Jesus always risks us being ungrateful when he changes our circumstances? And he's willing to? 9 out of 10. You have anybody? Or Thanksgiving is coming. Is there anybody you need to make a phone call to? They just did lots of stuff for you, and life's kind of gone on, and somehow you've just sort of like sailed along and forgot about them, and you're like, dang. So like when I was 16 and my mom died, I kind of got a new mom. She's an awesome mom, way different than my mom. A Mexican lady. So I live with this Mexican family, and very, very accepting, very different than the family that I grew up in. And just welcomed me into their family, you know, and great Mexican food too, besides. And so I just that's who I lived with, you know, that's who I grew up with the rest of the way. And I have not forgotten her. Because somehow she got deeper. I mean, there's lots of people that helped me along the way, but man, she's mom to me, he's my brother, both those kids are my brothers, and she's my sister, and she's my, and when her husband died, I was in the ministry as a pastor, and I did his funeral. And let me tell you what, man, it was the only time I'd ever done a funeral for somebody that was a family member to me. And it's not blood, but it is to me, because it got deeper. So I'm going to call her up this week like I always do, and I'm going to run down the list of things that I thank her for, because I got kicked out of school, and I got caught doing stuff at school that I got expelled, and she never kicked me out of her house. I would think, oh, my God, they're going to, and she never did. So I'll call her like I always do, and here's my point. Is there anybody that you need to call this week? And if it is, just write it in your notes right now. Don't let it go past, whoa, hey, look at him up there. He reminded me of something. Write it down right now. And just call him up and say, you know what, you went deeper. I want you to know you went deeper. That's this guy. Somehow the circumstances, which were awesome, were not as much as how deep it got with Jesus. Because he comes now. Remember now, the first time he stood at a distance? Hey, look at me. My life sucks. Now he throws himself at Jesus' feet. When you're down by someone's feet, that's pretty close. Stinky feet, you're down there with your face. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That's a big change. Anybody here need to throw yourself at Jesus' feet because from time to time you have sort of forgotten what he's done for you? And by the way, you don't have to be Christian to do that. In the home I grew up in, nobody like talked about God or Jesus or anything, but from time to time, I wasn't Christian either, but I would throw myself at his feet like, hey, there's no other explanation than you got me out of this. Thank you. Thanksgiving's coming. Who do you need to call? And do you need to say anything to the Lord? And you don't have to say it from a distance. You just go right to him. Throw yourself at his feet. Like this guy does. And you know, when Jesus sees him, he says, where are the other guys at? And please don't see that as a scolding. He's not mocking the other guys. It's sort of like, I hope they don't understand having their circumstances changed is enough. Don't fall into that trap. Where's the other guys? Come on, they got to get it just like you got it. You got something deeper. You and I are going to walk through all of your circumstances now. Where are the other guys at? Gosh, I hope they don't think that something skin deep will be enough. But it is the temptation, huh? The minute you get out of that hot water, you're like, yee-haw. And he's just stopping. He's saying, where are those guys? We don't even know. He might back and wouldn't try to find them. Whatever the case may be, leprosy is skin deep. Healing's deeper. And so you have this one person now that's at the feet of Jesus. He's praising God in a loud voice. And here's why. He has something better than his circumstances changing. He goes forward into his circumstances change. You know what happened with the lions in the beginning of the talk today? The circumstances changed, but the lions didn't. And so here's one man, his circumstances changed, and so did he. See, that's the power of Jesus. It's faith. It's It's a connection with Him. It means now, regardless of my circumstances, I'm not alone. It's something deeper. And look in your notes, you can write the bottom line, our faith creates our future. And I don't mean to say that somehow by faith you can design your circumstances, you can make your circumstances happen, because that's not true. That's a dangerous way to think, because guess what? If you think, whoa, me and Jesus can make my future just like I want it, and you plan it out, and then it's not like that, you're like, bad God. It's not me, it's you. So you can't make your circumstances happen, so I'm not saying that. You can't create your future with faith, but here's what you can. You can create who you'll be in your future circumstances. See, that's what I'm talking about. And it's important. So grab your connection card, if you would. Would you just grab that in your program? Grab that, and let's look at a couple things on the very back. I hope you'll fill that out so we can just send you a nice little card in the mail, and we don't put you on mailing lists, and so you get all kinds of Christian catalogs to buy little cheesy angel things and stuff. We don't do that, okay? So, but on the back, it's just a way to stay connected, so don't fear doing that. And then we have some things, prayer requests on there, and some ways that you can help and volunteer. We get all this all set up in the morning. And then it says, my next step. Now listen, there is a place in the Bible that says, be doers of the word, not just hearers. What it means is like, take advantage of what you heard. Take advantage of who Jesus can be for you. We always say this isn't the YMCA. This isn't an event. This isn't a club. This is a place to have a connection with Jesus, and then that goes forward everywhere we go. And so look at some things here that can happen for you this week. The judgment I'm going to face is. Now remember, the verdict will not cleanse you. As they went, they were cleansed. It's just about the humility. The moment you're willing to experience the humility of facing the judgment is the moment you'll be cleansed. Who judges you and you want nothing to do with them? What judgment are you trying to avoid? With Jesus, you can face it and be cleansed. And it won't matter what the final verdict is. You'll be healed. And then the second thing is, the healing I'm going to believe is. My take on this story is they all got healed. One of them recognized it. And that's an odd thing when you don't get that you're healed. You know your circumstances are changed, but you don't feel any different. When I was in, many years ago, we had this church office. In the backyard, there was this really gunky, dirty, nasty pool that in the wintertime would get totally, like, dirty and gunky. And the water would be almost so good you could, like, do a Jesus thing and walk across it. I mean, it was, like, really, really bad. And so I called a company, and when summer came, I said, hey, you have to come and drain that water out of there. Because and give us new water for our pool. And the guy comes out and he starts pouring chemicals into it and whatnot. And he says, you don't have to drain the water out of it. And I said, well, what are you going to do with all that crazy water? He says, just watch. And I watched as the days went by as he treated that water, and eventually it became crystal clear. Same water. And I admit it was kind of funky getting inside of it, remembering what it used to be. But it was different. And all I'm saying today is at some point, you're going to be who you are, and you're going to have to decide, am I going to be different? Am I going to be healed?